minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer Nation? Welcome into another episode of Pack-A-Day Podcast. Once again, my name is Matt Fralick. Alongside me is the wonderful Janelle Mackey. Janelle, it's nice to see you finally in this new year.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've recorded.
It's been a while. I think we were one of the lucky ones, along with, I know, Zach Jacobson, maybe Jake, and a couple other people that their episodes, or our episodes, I should say, it's like 3, 4, 5 of them are just, they're stuck in Narnia. They're just gone forever.
Yep, lost episodes.
Ours was not technology. A fluke in that. It was because of obviously the Matt LaFleur signing, which is great. The news that's came out from that in the last, I guess it would be 2 weeks, exactly 2 weeks now, has been amazing. Really excited to have him along on the team and young, brilliant mind to run that offense. But our episode today is actually about the linebacking crew, and we're probably just going to stick maybe 25 minutes just talking about Kyler Fackrell. I think that would be the best way to just really... I would feel good about it for myself because I've been very hard on Kyler Fackrell for a long time, well and before we started this Pack-A-Day podcast, and all of a sudden it comes around full circle after 3 years, and lo and behold, he leads the team in sacks for the year.
Yeah, only one in double digits. So.
Only one in double digits, yeah. Exactly.
So welcome to the Kyler Fackrell Show. And we'll talk about a couple other linebackers, yeah. Maybe, if they're lucky.
Episode 181, the Kyler Fackrell highlight reel. So before we get into that, let's talk a little bit about some of the coaching changes that happened, other than Matt LaFleur. So we go back a little ways as far as things that, you know, do affect the linebacking group, or at least defense as a whole. So Winston Moss is obviously not on the team anymore. We all know how that shook down after Mike McCarthy was fired. Joe Philbin followed suit a few days later and told him, you know, to get lost as well. And he was the outside linebacker coach as addition to the associate head coach. Flash forward now, you know, the last few days, it looks like Patrick Graham, he's the linebacker coach, inside linebacker coach, more than likely headed to Miami following the season. The reason it's more than likely is because Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Patriots, he's in the Super Bowl. So they're not going to let him they're a little busy. They're not going to let him interview. But it sounds like they've had a relationship in the past working together. Sounds like Patrick Graham will head down there and be the defensive coordinator down in Miami. He only spent one season with the Packers. I'm assuming him and Pettine had some background. I didn't really go deep into that, but lo and behold, the Packers do have a new linebacking coach that will be affecting all the men we're going to be talking about in this episode, and that is Kurt Olivadotti. I got that right.
Yeah, had to look that one up to pronounce
it correctly. Definitely had to look it up. So, formerly of the Redskins for a long, long time, he actually had been part of the Redskins coaching staff since 2000. Kind of, you know, went up and down as far as where he was within the defensive side of the ball. 2010, coached with Matt LaFleur. Pretty whatever. They're on the opposite sides of the ball. I don't know if they, you know, really knew each other, maybe passed in the hallways for only 9 months working together. And then 2011 to 2013, he actually went to Georgia and came back in 2014 with the Redskins and has been there the last 3 years and is now the linebacker coach for the Packers. So, Janelle, we have a group in place. Coming into the season for the Packers, into the 2018 season, it looked like this team was pretty set. It looked like it was, at least this position, there was a lot of depth. You watch that in, you know, mini camp, training camps, family nights, preseason games especially. There were some guys that flew off the screen. Let's start with the outside linebacking core. I know there's a couple guys that I noticed off that group, but let's talk about who's currently on the roster for the outside linebackers and what they did this past year.
All right, yeah, well, I think it's fair to start with the veteran. We'll talk about Clay Matthews. Kind of worried about how this year is going to go for him. Obviously, he's on a contract year, so He'll now be an unrestricted free agent. So he was kind of under pressure to really perform. And it didn't seem like he was very present, but he was also present at crucial times. He did have, obviously, those really unfortunate calls in his favor once he would finally find the quarterback. But I don't think he had a horrible year, but he obviously is kind of, he's getting up there in age and his game is slowing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
43 total tackles, 28 solo, 3.5 sacks.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very big year for him, but I mean, better than a lot of the linebacking crew, unfortunately.
Yeah, yeah, he actually sticks out a little bit.
Yeah, I think compared to his past, like, this is a bummer year for him, but I personally don't think he had, like, an awful year.
No.
So.
Like you said, he's 32. I'm not sure when his, you know, his birthday is. Maybe he's 33 by the year, by the time the season starts. But mind you, the last year and a half for me personally, as far as being critical on players, I guess we'll stick to the outside linebacking position. Kyler Fackrell's one. Clay Matthews is, you know, in that line as well, and I would be even more critical on him than Fackrell because he is a star getting paid, you know, 5 years, $65 million. You would expect that to, you know, have some high-level production on the field. You know, I thought this year was it was overshadowed a little bit maybe by the, like you had mentioned, critical moments with the penalties by Clay Matthews. I thought he had some – I thought early on in the year he had some big games. And then as towards the end of the year, I didn't really see him that often.
I completely agree. Like, his presence kind of dwindled.
Yeah.
That kind of seemed the whole team, like momentum, everything was just going downhill. So
absolutely.
But as a veteran on the team, you have to keep performing at a high level, even when the team is kind of in a slump.
For sure. And the last thing I'll say about Clay, I guess, for me is I was impressed this year. But then when you talk about his stats, like maybe my expectations of Clay are just kind of just completely screwed up at this point. If I'm really impressed by 40-plus tackles and a couple sacks and one forced fumble. That's probably a problem on my end, honestly.
Yeah, which unfortunately, 40 some tackles is a lot.
Yeah.
For this
compared to the rest of the team.
For the whole crew.
Mm-hmm.
So
definitely.
We'll move on to the big star of the year.
Yep.
I'll talk about number 51, Kyler Fackrell. He only had 42 total tackles, but he broke the double-digit number. He had 10.5 sacks on the year. I think, like, four of them were against the Dolphins or something like that. So
yeah.
He kind of rose from the ashes. This kid that everyone was like, oh, who is this guy? And kind of had doubts about how he was going to play.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden throughout the year, he just got better and better in the hype. And, I mean, maybe it's just a star year for him, or maybe he's really turning his game around. He'll be a big player. It's kind of...
Yeah,
right
you can
now.
Chalk that to a couple things. Maybe if we're trying to, you know, say why it happens. Going into his third year, so that's big. Maybe a different, you know, regime with Mike Pettine in there. Possibly that, you know, Dom Capers wasn't adjusting his scheme to Kyler Fackrell. Maybe Kyler Fackrell wasn't getting it. But, yeah, I mean, for everyone out there that had a bet – through Vegas that Kyler Fackrell would get more than 10 sacks. I mean, kudos to you. I'm sure that paid big money for you. So it'll be interesting as we get, you know, later on in this podcast to talk about where Kyler Fackrell fits in coming into next year.
Yeah, especially like, I mean, we just talked about Clay. Clay had 43 tackles. Fackrell had 42.
Mm-hmm.
Clay had 28 solo. Fackrell had 26. So those numbers are like Clay had 14 assisted sacks. Fackrell had 13. So until you get to the actual sacks, then that's where Fackrell's number really jumps out.
Definitely. And Clay Matthews started all 16 games. Mm-hmm. Kyler Fackrell played in all 16, but only started 7. So, like, I know it's not a huge discrepancy, but there's obviously a lot more PT going on than, you know,
yeah.
Those numbers look very comparable until you get to the sacks,
exactly.
And then you look at how many times you're on the field, like, comparison, it doesn't really
and
jive.
And then you remember that Fackrell is, like you said, in his third year, and Clay Matthews is in his third decade, so.
Exactly.
So, we'll move on to another respectable outside linebacker, Reggie Gilbert,
yeah.
Who I actually think he's okay at his job.
He's okay. I mean, this would have been one of the people that I was talking about had a big preseason. I think it was the third or fourth preseason game, and it was the Raiders game, and he was just flying around. I mean, maybe that's credit to Reggie Gilbert, or maybe that's a dig on the Raiders, you know, offensive line. I think in August, we could have probably said, yeah, Reggie Gilbert's awesome. And now in January, we're like, yeah, the Raiders suck. Like, they couldn't block anyone. So Reggie Gilbert is a free agent after this year. I doubt he'll be on the team. Maybe we'll see if he would get a roster spot. But at this point, I would say, you know,
he's replaceable.
He's replaceable. You know, you're going to get him for super, super cheap. He is a body. I mean, he's a kind of a freak. But again, he will be going into his third year. And what do we see from Kyler Fackrell now? We're talking about in his third year.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we'll kind of stick with the outside linebackers, but jump to Nick Perry, who ended the year on IR.
Sure.
Nick Perry, I'm sorry, but he is one of my most disappointing players of the year.
Yeah.
So,
it's a
bust. I expected so much more from him. Very disappointed. And then, yes, he ended up on IR, but I was very disappointed. Like, I don't remember ever hearing his name. Like, he just wasn't present. So,
no.
Sorry to all the Nick Perry lovers out there, but I was very disappointed in him this year.
I know one Nick Perry lover and buddy I went to high school with, and the only reason he's a big Nick Perry lover, I think, is because he was, like, highly graded on some website, and then going into the draft, mm-hmm. when the Packers drafted him, and then the Packers ended up still getting him in the first round, and he thought it was a great pick. Outside of that, I don't really know many Nick Perry lovers, unless, like, you're a lover of your team having, you know, a stud 5 years, $60 million guy sitting on IR, then yeah.
Yeah, and a couple years ago when him and Matthews were healthy at the same time, I loved them together.
Yeah.
I thought they worked really well together on the line. Like, if Clay gets a little extra pressure, Perry's going to find the quarterback. And
mm-hmm.
Perry plays better with a club on his hand,
he
in
does.
My opinion.
He
I don't
absolutely
know why,
does.
But that seems to be the key factor in his game. So I don't know. I think that was another issue, too, is with, like, back in the day, a couple years ago, if Matthews was hurt, Perry wasn't present, and vice versa. Now, Perry, we give him all this money, and mm-hmm. he's on IR and not putting out numbers. 24 yeah. total tackles. He had 1.5 sacks. I don't exactly remember how many games total he played before he got hurt, but I'm sorry.
Yeah, he's
not worth the money that
no.
was given to him.
Second highest paid player on the team behind Aaron Rodgers. You know, like I said, 5 year, $60 million contract he signed in 2017. He'll be going to that third year. I was looking earlier today, and in the third, fourth, and fifth year, I think his contract went up to about $14 million per. So going into this third year, if they actually were to cut him, which I think is there's an extremely, extremely strong case to do that, I would say even non-Packer fans, just some websites I was reading, just as far as free agents or whatever, you know, looking at salary cap and money to spend, even some, you know, non-Packer websites are saying, yep, Nick Perry should be gone. They would save, I believe, $3.3 million if they were to cut him. You know, I don't, dead cap and whatever it is, they're going to save some money regardless, and I think it's worth it to do it. I don't see that he's worth it. There's clearly other guys. One, Kyler Fackrell again. Keep plugging his name. That should get more playing time, and you can get way cheaper. Kyler Fackrell is going into his contract year in the 2019 season, so you're going to get him for cheap. If he can perform again, get 10-plus sacks, let's see what happens you get at him. But I think Nick Perry's gone. Injury, like you said, injury-prone, not productive when he's on the actual field, and when he's off the field, I mean, he's hurt for every other reason. It's from hip to knee to hand to whatever else you want to call it.
Exactly. So I don't plan on seeing him around
no,
much longer.
Absolutely not.
So we'll move into our inside linebackers.
Sure.
We'll start with arguably the best linebacker on the squad, Blake mm-hmm. Martinez, only one to break. Well, nobody but him, it looks like,
yeah.
broke 50 tackles.
For the linebackers, yep.
Yeah, and he had 144, 78 solo, 5 sacks. Not a bad year. I as the years go on, Blake Martinez becomes one of my favorite players to watch.
He's consistent.
Yeah, he's got great energy out there, and he's Like, he just plays with aggression. Like, aggression. I love watching him, and he's all over the place. So he's always – he finds the ball and tries to make the tackle. So
absolutely. Absolutely. I think
– and he's, what, like, going into his fourth year?
I believe so, yeah.
So I'm excited to see where he'll be. He's still on his rookie contract, and I don't have a lot of bad things to say about Martinez. Obviously, he stands out when you're looking at all the stats.
Yeah.
Like, his numbers are crazy, minus the sacks. Obviously, that goes to Kyler Fackrell. But
I mean, still, like, 5 sacks for an inside linebacker in a 3-4 defense isn't – I mean, any defense, really, isn't bad. Like, that's actually very productive. I mean, not very productive, but it's solid. It's not like he's 0 or 1. I mean
– he leads – or he's second behind Fackrell, 4 sacks on the year. So, not a lot of bad things I can say about Martinez's year. He definitely stepped up as a younger player, so – a lot of these veterans he's playing with, like Perry and Matthews, I think he did a great job kind of stepping into his role these last couple years, and I think he's only going to get better moving forward.
Yeah, and it seems like since, you know, A.J. Hawk was gone to Blake Martinez, there's been no, you know, there's been, I guess, no lull. There's been consistency at the linebacker position from both of those guys. Not to compare them, but, you know, Blake Martinez has been very consistent. Love what he's doing out there. You said 144 tackles. Do you know who was second on the team in tackles by at all, Janelle? It was a hint, because I see you looking at your notes. It's not a linebacker.
Really?
Yeah, guess who it was.
For tackles. I mean, Alexander?
Jair Alexander was second on the team. I think he had like 63 tackles.
Only six, doesn't make sense. Those numbers just...
doesn't make sense.
There's such a big gap.
Yeah, there's many, many defensive backs that were up in the top 5 for tackles on the year. So, really strange. Blake Martinez also is in a contract year in the 2019 season. So, you'd look him to, you know, remain consistent if he wants to go get paid after the 2019 season. Next on the list.
Oren Burks,
rookie. Third-round pick. We didn't see a lot from Oren Burks. There was a lot of – I mean, he was injured to start the year, and I just don't think you got – we had enough sample size on Oren Burks for a couple of reasons. One, the defense was – they were always playing him in sub packages, so he was always playing in like – it was either he was getting subbed out with another cornerback or a safety, and I just – I don't think Oren Burks is a bad football player. I just don't think he fits what the Packers were doing this past season. And I don't know, maybe that'll change with the new coaching staff coming in, like I said. But it's, again, one season, tough to really get a, you know, gauge on it. I know he's kind of one of those – they brought him in, lo and behold, in the third round because he was one of those type hybrid type guys. Just like when they brought in Josh Jones last year. You know, obviously he's more of a safety, but, you know, still played up in the box quite a bit in sub packages. Oren Burks probably could be a safety, but he plays linebacker. It's just one of those things. Fun fact, I did see Oren Burks at a farmer's market like back in August, and dude's huge, stuck out of the crowd. Not really tough to believe, but I think there was actually like a an away game like that following Thursday or that next day, and he was not there. That was just a weird thing. I think that's when he hurt his hand. But Oren Burks, we'll see what you get out of him. I'm not too, you know, not too upset about it, but hopefully you see him at least take a step forward come next year.
Yeah, I would hope so. So next on my list is James Crawford. Didn't really see much of him.
No.
So we won't.
He got in there a little bit. Nothing huge. I believe he was a rookie this year. Didn't see a lot of playing time, but, I mean, just a body. Yeah, I don't really much to say about James Crawford, unfortunately. I wish I did.
Yeah. So we'll move on to Antonio Morrison, who actually is kind of a big name right now for the linebacking crew.
Absolutely. I like Antonio Morrison. When the Packers got him, I think it was the first episode we recorded where we had maybe technical issues or something was wrong and I had to record by myself. And so I'm sitting there like, all right, well, I'm going to look up some of these guys they've got. Cause I gotta fill the audio here. So I'm looking up, and I think they had Tony Brown that day. They got back in August, which was like Tony Brown turned into a stud. I like Tony Brown. And I believe Antonio Morrison was one of them. And that guy, he's nuts. Like, him playing next to Blake Martinez, Blake Martinez is kind of like the safety net for inside linebacker. Antonio Morrison flies around the field. I mean, he is just doesn't care. If Kentrell Bryce is the hard-hitting, just missile at safety, Antonio Morrison is that at linebacker. He's going to fill a hole every single time, whether or not it's, you know, head up, head down, and he's gonna take the brunt of the hit no matter what. And I think him next to Blake Martinez is a solid 1-2 punch.
It's a gritty linebacker.
Good word. He was signed to a 2-year deal in 2018, so he's got 1 year left in 2019. He's making next to nothing as far as pay, so I would imagine he's gonna keep up that intensity. I don't think he got banged up too much throughout the year. I think he played in most games. If he didn't start them all, but he played in every single game.
Yeah, I think looking at my notes here, he had the second most tackles behind Martinez.
Sure.
48 total tackles, mm-hmm. 26 solo.
Yep.
So that's...
And he had a sack in there, it looks
like. Yeah, he did actually have a sack. So he's kind of trying to make his mark in here, play big. And yeah, I do... I feel like I remember early on trying to find something about him we couldn't find much about him.
No, I mean, I think he led the Colts in tackles in the 2017 season. But I mean, again, inside linebacker, that's probably going to happen. I mean, you could look up all 32 inside linebackers, depending if it's a 4-3 or a 3-4 for a team, and you're like, all of them are going to be in the top 50 for tackles. It's just how it happens.
Yeah.
And as far as inside linebacker goes, I think it's safe to say, you know, you had talked about Nick Perry on IR. Let's flip it around a little bit. Jake Ryan IR. I would be shocked if Antonio Morrison isn't the starting inside linebacker next to Blake Ryan come, you know, May, June. I don't see Jake Ryan really doing much at this point for the Packers. He's a free agent after this year. Janelle is one of the three at the linebacker position. Do we see Jake Ryan on the roster next year?
This is a tough call for me.
Really?
I do like Jake Ryan.
Okay.
I think he's a great player. I liked watching him and Blake Martinez play together.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that was a couple years ago. He's going to be coming off an ACL tear, which he suffered before the season even started.
Mm-hmm.
The 2017 season, he had 72 total tackles, which, I mean, obviously if you compare that year to the stats of the linebackers from this year,
sure,
it's a pretty good number.
Yep.
But he only had one sack. But as an inside linebacker, that's actually pretty, like, to get a sack is pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a tough call just because, I mean, he's fighting for the same position that
mm-hmm.
Blake Martinez is playing in and Morrison. So I think he would almost have a better chance if he was an outside linebacker on IR
mm-hmm.
versus an inside, because there is a lot of good talent. There's a lot of really good talent in both of them, but I feel like it'd be easier for him to try and win over a spot as the outside linebacker.
If he was an outside linebacker.
Exactly, okay. Because, I mean, with Clay Matthews, we don't know what'll happen with him. Gilbert, he's kind of up in the air, so
mm-hmm.
I think it would have been easier for him to kind of fight to get a spot in there rather than having to play behind Martinez and Morrison and who knows what Burks is going to do in these next couple of years.
Definitely.
So.
And I think Jake Ryan, I mean, we saw that he wasn't the fleetest of foot before he had an ACL injury, and now he tears his ACL, so it's like,
yeah,
I doubt that's going to help your speed there, Jake.
The way they cut Vince Beagle,
mm-hmm.
I don't see them having a problem doing with Jake Ryan.
Yeah.
Even though they didn't see much from Vince Beagle because he did get hurt early on in his career. Whereas Jake Ryan, like, they kind of can see what he's done. I think looking, his numbers were pretty similar in the 2016 season, and then he was a rookie the 2015 season. Mm-hmm. So him and Blake Martinez, same age. But, yeah, I mean, you don't know how a player's going to come back after that ACL tear. Tough to say. On a contract year, he's an unrestricted free agent right now. So as much as I would love to see him come back, I think the chances of him not being on the team are higher than him being on the team.
Okay. I think, honestly, it comes down to one of the guys I was raving about. It's Antonio Morrison. I think that's his spot. I think you have the backup in Oren Burks then, and just that's it. You have the three inside linebackers. Maybe you get, you know, have a fourth one in James Crawford, or, you know, another guy maybe draft, or, you know, sign as a free agent, which we'll get into it a little bit here. But that's the way I see it. So let's, you know, let's transition a little bit to, you know, 2019. Right now, exactly how you said, Janelle, good transition. The inside linebacking group is more solid. It's more solidified. We have a pretty good idea. I'd say Blake Martinez, Antonio Morrison. I would say Oren Burks is the backup. I think that's pretty fair on all three accounts to say that's pretty solid. I would imagine they go maybe get a fourth one in the draft or free agency. I don't think there's much debate there at this point. If someone wants to debate, at me, because I would really love to know who you think would be in that group. But outside linebackers, we could discuss this for a while. I know Andy Herman, this following Monday, so you'll hear this podcast on Tuesday, so 6 days from then, he's actually going to talk about the edge rushers, so I'm sure he'll have a lot to say about what we're going to talk about right now. But outside linebackers are edge rushers, so we got to talk about it. Right now, it looks like, to me, Kyler Fackrell is a starter. I don't think you can really, right now, let me defend this point. So he is a starter right now because obviously we left the season. He was a starter. Nick Perry's still on IR. You don't know when he's going to come back. And Clay Matthews is still on contract. That being said,
as that makes him kind of the most solid in this position.
He's exactly
the most secure. Like, there, he has the highest chance of being back.
For sure. And even if, I mean, let's just say for some reason that the Packers decide to keep Nick Perry, it would make sense money-wise. Like, okay, you know, we don't want to, we're only two, you know, this is our third year out of a five-year deal. Maybe he's going to come back healthy, whatever. So they, you know, they keep Nick Perry, they keep Kyler, and somehow they sign Clay Matthews to a team-friendly deal, which I think is the big thing for every Packer fan out there. I think they do not want to see another 10-year, or excuse me, a $10 million per year contract, $11 million per year contract when he's going to be 32, 33 years old. So even if both those things happen, those hypotheticals, Perry's back, Clay's back, like, I still think Kyler Fackrell is your starter with Nick Perry coming off an injury. I don't think that's a, like, you know, I just convinced myself. I think that actually all makes sense.
Yeah, and I'm really not going to argue with you. I mean, I'm not only saying that because, like, obviously, Fackrell won everybody over, and a lot of people are kind of, like, thinking that there's too much hype. But statistically, and, like, watching him, I think he's earned this position. I think he's earned the position of a starter. And, yes, a lot of those sacks did come against really weak offensive line teams, really yeah, he was just able to find those holes, but why couldn't anyone else find it?
Right.
How is it that he's getting through? So if you want to make that argument that, oh, well, he got sacks against weak teams, well, how come he's the only one doing it?
For sure.
So how come your inside linebacker has more sacks than your edge rushers?
Exactly. Exactly. Someone else on the outside that we didn't really mention, which it's fine, Kendall Donerson, seventh-round pick from this last year. Kind of a freak. I know there's got a lot of people that we do the Pack-A-Day podcast with. They're huge on him. Wanted to see him get some playing time in week 16, 17. Maybe he competes for a spot there too, but I think he kind of falls into that. Same thing as Reggie Gilbert. They're both physical specimens, but does that translate into you being a good football player?
Exactly.
We'll see what happens.
And we'll see how, like, the schemes of defense work this year too.
Absolutely. You have, like I said, Mike Pettine will be there in his second year. He's going to adapt a little bit. New linebacker coach, Kirk Olivadotti. I want to say Oladipo. That's Victor. So I mean, there's holes though, Janelle. Let's get back here. There's holes in this defense.
We got off track there for a second talking about Kyler.
But yeah, no, we're trying.
Back
we're trying.
On
I think
our
it's
focus.
Fifth or sixth time we brought him up. So outside linebackers, it's like you have to go get someone because in my mind, I mean, I was really trying to make it like a case for let's have the Packers keep Perry and Matthews, but honestly, I think Perry's gone. Do you think Perry's gone?
I mean, personally, I would hope so.
Okay. So you want him gone. All right.
Yes. We
cross Nick Perry off the roster.
And I would take Clay Matthews at a very, very cheap cost.
What's cheap? Because he was, like I said, he was getting $60 million for 5 years. So it was 10 million, like,
I mean,
it's tough to know the going rate of outside linebackers because everything goes up.
He'd be pretty close to, like, League minimum for a veteran.
League minimum? I think it gets more than that.
Not quite league minimum. I'm going to do him a little bit more justice than that, but he's definitely not worth another big contract.
No, and I don't think...
The thing is I think it would come down to, would he rather stay with the Packers for less or go try and... Because somebody would probably pay him
money.
Like, he could easily go make the money somewhere else, so...
100%.
I think... I didn't mean to, like, offend him by saying league minimum, but I think... At a cheap cost is what we would need to bring him in for, because, and it would have to, he would have to be willing to take that. I mean,
yes,
but again, we have to think about, like,
and I think
I'm gonna bring Jordy into it, but like, think about what they offered him, somebody who probably could have brought a little bit more to the table than what Clay Matthews brings. So they might offer him something like that.
It's a pretty similar situation too.
Yeah, I mean.
As him a fan and Jordy. Favorite, exactly.
Somebody who's been with the team, has a Super Bowl ring with us, was definitely one of the best when he was in his prime.
Yes.
So, I think, obvious pay cut, but I would love to see him come back.
Yeah.
Just because he's one of those veterans that I think is important to have on the team, but he could easily go make a lot more money with another team. There's other teams that would be willing to pay for him. But that being said, like... That's the business of free agency. So you and I kind of were talking earlier when I was at work and on my break. We were kind of texting back and forth, like looking at free agents in the whole league. And there's a couple names that stood out to both you and I.
And what were they?
The first one for me, I know this is probably exactly how I texted it to you. I don't like this guy, but I would rather have him play for us than have to play him twice a year. And that man is Anthony Barr.
I thought you were going to say Khalil Mack.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I would love to have him, but Anthony Barr is a free agent, and I don't think I'll ever forgive him for what happened, but he scares me.
Yeah, he's a beast.
Like, I hate to say that because I know I have beef with all my Viking fan friends at home, but I would rather have Anthony Barr play for us than have to play him twice a year because, obviously, he can do some damage. He's scary. I don't like the fact that we have to play him twice a year and Khalil Mack twice a year.
Not good.
So
not good.
Anthony Barr, I think, would be great to chase in free agency.
I think it'd be a good one to have. Anthony Barr, I think, statistically was down a little bit this year. And I would be so shocked if he was still a Viking next year. Just with all these young guys they have and that defense, the young receivers, you got Dalvin Cook. I mean... The money they're obviously playing Kirk Cousins. They're not going to be able to sign Anthony Barr. I just don't think that's even a possibility.
I think he's going to cost too much.
I think he's going to cost quite a bit. I mean, for what you're going to get from him too. Like he, again, I believe everything I remember from this year and then you know this year's past in comparison, his statistics were not up to snuff. But I think it's a good name. I mean, there's Jadeveon Clowney is 100% the top outside linebacker in free agency.
Caught my eye.
For sure. Defense, I mean, I would say it's probably like him and Landon Collins up there right now on the defensive side. I mean, I'm using a couple of websites. I like to use SpotRack. It's really, really good for contracts. If anyone doesn't know about that, I'm sure a lot of people do. But fair market, they're saying he's getting about $16.6 million. More than likely getting like a $100 million contract over, I think it was 6 years. So the problem that the Packers and many, many, many other football teams get into, not the Rams, actually, and not the Patriots, are that they pay their quarterbacks too much. The formula currently is draft a quarterback, have him for 3, 4, 5 years before you have to pay him big, and hopefully you can put some guys around him to get to a Super Bowl. Or you're Tom Brady and you play until you're 40 and you just take pay cuts because you want people around you. You're selfless. But paying someone like Jadeveon Clowney and Aaron Rodgers, I just don't see it being feasible. It sucks, but that's the position you put yourself in, having Aaron Rodgers, having to pay him, you know, kind of having pushed it down the road a little bit too often to do that. So I think it would be awesome. Jadeveon Clowney would be incredible to have. But I think, as you said, Janelle, falling maybe into that second tier, maybe it's a third tier of Anthony Barr, I think is more realistic. So we we're all the way at the, you know, at the top of the mountain with Jadeveon Clowney. Let's work our way down back to the base of the hill. I would say Dee Ford falls in there somewhere as well, even though he cost his team possibly their season on Sunday with the offsides penalty. Thomas Davis actually had a pretty emotional social media post last week about how the Panthers aren't bringing him back. Also very injury-prone throughout his career, but every time has came back and been productive. Very strange. Shaq Barrett from the Broncos, maybe an outside linebacker. He's not seeming to fit in there. They've drafted a couple guys, and he just doesn't seem that he's getting a lot of playing time. Preston Smith, which I was kind of digging around a little bit, was on the he's a linebacker for the Redskins, will be a free agent, so has, I guess, familiarity with the new outside or with the new linebacker coach. You know, possibly he could come in, be an outside linebacker for us. There's names out there that I see, but I see like a gap. I see it's like Jadeveon Clowney, Dee Ford, Bars somewhere in the middle, and then it kind of just falls off a little bit from there. You know, there's a bunch of other names I've seen out as far as outside linebackers. Is there anyone that I'm missing that you saw, or any of the names I mentioned, Janelle, that you think are like, I really like that guy?
You kind of checked off all the ones I was thinking of. Okay. Yeah, there's only maybe three that I really saw, and I was just like, I want to get that guy. Mm-hmm. Actually, maybe it was just Anthony Barr or mm-hmm. Clowney, which one more realistic than the mm-hmm. other, obviously. But, yeah, I'm curious as to how much they're going to, dig into the linebackers in free agency. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't go out and get another tight end, because that seems to be the only thing they ever get in
don't
free
do,
agency.
Don't do that. Yeah.
Which I'm kind of sick of.
Absolutely.
And unfortunately, they did get Mo Wilkerson last year, and then he got hurt, so one of our big hype guys during free agency didn't get to play too much. But I would love to see an edge rusher come in, an outside linebacker, maybe even an inside linebacker. I don't know. You can play around with position-wise. Mm-hmm. I know Clay has bounced back and forth between inside and outside. Yep. So there is a lot of players that can be diverse in both roles. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see somebody come in and just be a threat. Mm-hmm. I want somebody that teams come in and they're scared. Like, we don't need someone as aggressive as Khalil Mack or like Luke Kuechly, but or JJ Watt. I just want somebody that nobody wants to line up against.
Yeah. I mean,
and that used to be Clay Matthews. Unfortunately, it's not anymore, but that comes with age. So I want to get somebody else in there that can just kind of pose a threat and make a quarterback a little bit more worried, kind of have that eye, like corner of the eye, like, I wonder if that guy's coming or not. So, and a guy like that sometimes draws a little bit more pressure off the other side. So,
for sure. And open up more lanes for Kyler Sackrell then.
Exactly.
So
it all works out.
I'm looking at all the linebackers. I'm just going down the list here, seeing these top guys. It looks like Clay Matthews might fall into like the fourth or fifth as far as, you know, talent wise or wanting to get paid, maybe, you know, six. He's in that top, you know, definitely top 10, maybe just around the top five. So it'll be interesting to see when some of these big names start going off the board, like a Jadeveon Clowney, like a Dee Ford, to see where kind of they get slotted if the Packers don't get them, you know, to kind of dictate how Clay Matthews gets paid. You'll remember this. Last year when Jordy Nelson was cut, that was early on, right? Was that, you know, March, April?
Yes, okay. Because it was literally like 5 minutes after they signed Jimmy Graham.
So to that same point, I imagine they're going to make a move to get Clay Matthews re-signed on a team-friendly deal before everyone hits the open market mm-hmm. and, you know, inflates what his contract should be. So thank you for remembering that. So yeah. I'm imagining Clay Matthews is going to get a contract offer the next, you know, two months is probably fair. And hopefully we'll have an idea if he's going to be a Packer or not. Because if not, Janelle, the Packers miss out on Jadeveon Clowney because he goes somewhere like the Jets, who have, you know, millions and millions to spend, or Dee Ford re-signs back to the Chiefs, the Packers have to look towards the draft. And we won't spend too much time on the draft, but I think these edge rushers that are coming into this draft, especially at the number 12 pick, obviously the Packers have the 30th pick, thanks to the Saints on Sunday night. But
thanks for the refs.
Thank you, refs.
Sorry, I was
so
irritated with that call.
It was a terrible call. Awful horrible call. But at the number 12 pick, I see four gentleman, you know, possibly on the edge that the Packers should draft. Maybe it's not the position that they should take, but for the purpose of this episode, it's to talk about our edge rushers, more specifically linebackers overall. So I think it's safe to say, I put out a poll maybe last week or two for the number one pick for the Cardinals. It was right after Cliff Kingsbury was signed, and they said, you know, he was going to stick with Josh Rosen, but kind of wanted to get a feelers out there and get a lot of interaction. But I would say it was like 55% Nick Bosa. So he's the number one pick, right?
Easily,
hands down. I mean, he basically insurance policied himself halfway through the year for the Ohio State Buckeyes and was like, I'm good. I'm just going to, you know, figure out which size Cardinals hat I need.
Yeah.
So then the other four guys out there as far as defense, I would say is Josh Allen for Kentucky. I don't know how to pronounce his first name. I'll figure that out later down the road. Not important right now. The linebacker, Polite for the Florida Gators. Brian Burns for Florida State. And Devin White for LSU. I think all four of those guys are exactly what this linebacker, you know, edge position is turning into. I think that's exactly what the Packers need for that 12th pick. I see a lot of value there with those guys. The only problem I could see is there's not a lot of quarterbacks in this draft, and quarterbacks usually, you know, go pretty high, so that might make these gentlemen get slotted higher. But I do think there are some highly rated defensive backs that would go. Greedy Williams being one from LSU, teammate of Devin White. There's a couple other guys, Deontay Thompson. I've seen some rumors maybe he, you know, the Packers might pick him at 12. You know, that'd be more of a discussion for on Thursday for when you hear Steve, Dusty, and Sarah, who's going to do her, I guess it would be her first episode for the Pack-A-Day podcast. First official host, not guest host.
Yeah.
But they're going to talk about the safety, so maybe they'll talk about him. But I think those four guys, Janelle, I don't know how deep you are into the draft. I had to dive in because I don't really like the draft, even around before, after combine time, because everyone's like, oh, you know, Josh Allen, number two pick possibly. And then all of a sudden he runs a bad 40, and people are like, outside the top 10. He went to Kentucky. Like, why did he go to Kentucky? Why didn't he go to a different SEC school? And it's just like this whole snowball. So do you have any opinion? Did you watch any of the guys in the bowl game? Anything like that? And seen anything?
Do they
draft outside linebacker?
Honestly, I don't pay too much attention to all those mock drafts because they never work out the way that they're gonna anyways. There's always one team that jumps the gun on someone. I kind of wait till it gets a little bit closer, till I've kind of seen combines, and I don't base everything off the combine because like some people just don't perform like as well. I was one of those people growing up, horrible at tryouts, but could play the game well. So
Sure. You
can't always base all that stuff.
You told them to
the
check
combine.
The tape on you then.
Exactly.
Check the tape.
Yeah. Always
Got
check
it.
The tape. But I really hope that if they don't explore free agency options for linebackers, inside, outside, edge rushers, whatever, that they attack it in the draft.
Yeah.
I think it's a really important piece because I'm sick of seeing them spend their draft picks on DBs. Like, it's taken about 5 years to get an Alexander.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of sick of that. It's predictable. They can get it with their 30th pick if they want. Attack an edge rusher. Like, I want somebody that makes a quarterback a little bit scared every time they have to go take a snap. So I would definitely – I haven't really watched any tape on these guys. Don't know much about them.
I haven't watched a lot either. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I know Josh Allen was – you know, it's very talked about. I doubt he'd
Josh
end up
– Josh Allen?
Josh Allen. That's his name. Josh Allen for Kentucky.
Really?
Yeah, same guy, different guy.
Same guy, but different guy.
He's probably going to be a top five pick, so I doubt he would be there even for the Packers. But the other three, I would say Devin White, I watched a little bit at LSU this year.
You were kind of talking up Burns a little bit
before we started recording. I like Burns for two reasons. One, he's like just a freak, like physically. And I like Florida State, so I'm kind of biased
that way. A little bit biased.
But the Polite kid from Florida is also really good. I think any of those, you know, four would be great. Taper my expectations down. Everyone besides Josh Allen makes sense for the Packers actually to have a chance at. But again, like you said, we'll wait and see. Maybe someone will trade up. Who knows what's going to happen? I mean, Raiders have all these picks. Who knows? I mean, Packers might even trade out of 12 and get trade out of the 30th spot and end up with 6 second round picks or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, who knows? That would be the way it usually goes. But yeah, I mean, if they attack free agency, then I don't know what they would target with the 12th pick.
I have no idea. I mean,
because I feel like this is kind of one of those positions where it's like, we need someone really good.
For sure. And so. I would think as far as needs, again, we don't want to get too far here. We'll let everyone else talk about their positions or if they already have or going to. But I would say line, you know, right side of the line is important. Maybe another receiver, possibly a tight end. You know, defense, I would say every spot besides probably the defensive line needs help. So I don't think you'd get great value at the couple I mentioned in the first round. But, you know, we'll wait and see what happens. But this is the first episode, actually, of the defensive position reviews from the Pack-A-Day podcast. You can listen to all the ones that happened this last week, mostly on offense. Zach and Jake talked about the GM spot on this past Sunday, and Andy actually had a cool interview with Tyler Mars, lineman for the Tennessee Titans, talking a little bit about Matt LaFleur and his time at Wisconsin. So the rest of the week, you're going to have Jake and Nick talking about the cornerbacks on Wednesday, which would be tomorrow. As I said, Steve and Dusty and Sarah will welcome her aboard to the team, talking about the safeties on Thursday. Andrew Murdig and Kyle will talk about the special teams on Friday. That'll actually have to be hilarious. Saturday is Mike and Tyler talking about the coaching. And Sunday, Jake and Zach talk about the D-line. And then Andy will round it all out with the edge rushers and probably touch on a little bit of what we talked about today. So, Janelle, this is a really optimistic time for the Packers this year. We'll see how this goes. You know, let's watch the Super Bowl, obviously. I can't wait for the Super Bowl. I'm pretty jacked. You have this new up-and-coming team versus, I guess, the cornerstone of the NFL the last 20 years. So we'll see how that shakes out. And then after that, we kind of have a little bit of a lull, and then we just pick it right back up where it started. So make sure to turn in the Pack-A-Day podcast for all your Packers needs and, I guess, news. Coaches seem to be coming in and out in the last few weeks, so there's always be something new that you'll have to tune into to listen to. Janelle, where can they listen to all the podcasts and follow along?
Yeah, basically anywhere you can find a podcast, mm-hmm. it's on there. You can follow along on Twitter at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Actually, I think it's just
Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Pack-A-Day,
yeah.
I should know that. Wow. Sorry. We're recording on a Monday. Mm-hmm. It's one of those days. But, yeah, you can follow along on there. That's where all the episodes get posted. They'll let you know what's being released that day. So Twitter, definitely the best place to follow along. You can also follow it on Facebook. You can find Pack-A-Day Facebook page. Follow along there. But basically anywhere you listen to a podcast, we'll be on there. Mm-hmm. So
share with your friends. Let them know. I always like to say, you know, let grandma, if grandma's a Packers fan, get grandma hooked up. She might not have a smartphone, but maybe sit down and listen to her. You guys can always review, comment, like, subscribe, share, reshare, and, you know, at anyone you want to figure out, you know, their opinion on certain things. You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_FRA_. You can find Janelle on Twitter at @BigMac_4. Janelle also just joined. Who did you join?
Pack to the Future. Yep, I will be writing for them. So shortly you'll probably be able to start reading my content on there. Mm-hmm. So that's exciting for me.
Awesome. That's really cool. But again, great to be back, Janelle. I think 2 weeks ago when we were supposed to record, we were figuring out how many weeks it was off, and then we had 2 more weeks off. So
yeah, I don't think we've recorded since before Christmas. So it's been a minute.
It's been good.
So we kind of had a longer episode today.
Hopefully. We had the energy. We were prepped.
Yeah, we did have the energy to talk about Kyler Fackrell and the guys that play next to him.
Once again, this was the Pack-A-Day Podcast, episode 181, your position reviews on the linebackers. Janelle, the season's over, but it's always Packer season in my mind.
Exactly. There is no off season.
Every day's game day. And what do we say at the end of every episode?
From the 16 in New York, first down, goal to go. Rodgers in the shotgun, Williams to his left, here's the snap. Rodgers, clean pocket, throws the middle of the end zone. And a dagger! They beat Morris Claiborne to the back line of the end zone. The Packers have won it.
Snap to Wild.
Oh, yes!
Geronimo Allison just gets in the rookie, recovers in the end zone, and a Lambeau leap to the north end zone stands. The Packers have a 6-0 lead.
Pepperd on third down and three in the shotgun. Packers showing a blitz, and here they come. Pepperd looking, hit as he throws it, deep down the right sideline, and intercepted on the play. Spectacular interception by Kevin King at the 9-yard line of Green Bay. Snap to Rodgers, looking right. Throws the right side, see Brown makes the touch,
nice reach.
The 38 bounds. Oh, he reached back to gather it in, using all 6'5 of his frame. Tumbled out of bounds, inside the 30 of the 28-yard line. Hunter Bradley the snap, J.K. Scott down on one knee, arm extended. Here it is, placement made, kick is up. It is good!
It is good!
Mason Crosby delivers the dagger! 1 week after his worst day ever, he delivers the dagger tonight! Third and five, 13-yard line of Atlanta. Snap, Ryan, looks right, close, right there, intercepted to the house, Bashaud Breeland, touchdown, Green Bay Packers! 19-yard interception return, and it's 16-7 Packers! And Rodgers looks it over, takes the snap, blitz on, they pick it up, lofting it out,
they got him!
Single back offense behind Aaron Rodgers, who ducks in under center. From the 29 of Green Bay, and here's the handoff off the middle. Big hole, straight ahead. Here's Aaron Jones, off to the races, to the 20, to the 15, to the 10, down the left sideline, and he's out of bounds. Inside the 10 of the 5-yard line of Miami. Aaron Jones with a burst, 67 yards.